Welcome to the Conceive Baby podcast. My name's Tasha Jennings, fertility naturopath and nutritionist. In each episode, I share with you my best fertility tips and introduce you to world-leading fertility experts to help you improve your fertility well-being to create your healthy pregnancy. Welcome to today's episode of the Conceive Baby podcast. I'm fertility naturopath and nutritionist Tasha Jennings, and today we're going to delve into the world of Chinese medicine and how it relates to your fertility. Now, firstly, if you haven't already, be sure to download my free fertility checklist, where I give you some great simple swaps you can make in your diet today, plus some of my favorite fertility recipes. You can download your copy at conceivebaby.com.au/checklist. Now, if you have been trying to conceive for any length of time, you'll have likely heard about acupuncture for fertility, or maybe received an acupuncture treatment yourself. But today we're going to dig beyond that and look at the foundations of Chinese medicine fertility and how they can help you. You know, what does yin and yang really mean? What is qi? And how does it relate to your fertility? Plus, we'll be talking about the five elements of Chinese medicine and how we can use these to nourish our fertility. And who better to discuss this with than the lovely Amy Forth? Amy is the director of the Acupuncture Pregnancy Clinic, an integrative acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine clinic focusing on preconception care, fertility, IVF support, and pregnancy support. Amy has a Bachelor of Health Science Chinese Medicine, a Master's of Global Health, and is a practitioner, researcher, and educator in the field of fertility, IVF, and pregnancy acupuncture and integrative medicine. Amy has also been involved in various research projects, including her own research investigating the integrative medicine practice and education needs of Australian GPs, and as a practitioner herself on several clinical trials investigating the use of acupuncture for IVF, PCOS, and endometriosis. Amy has presented widely on acupuncture and integrative care and is committed to contributing to the development of integrative models of healthcare through practice, research, and education. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Thanks for the intro.
Pleasure. Well, you've done a wealth of work in the space of Chinese medicine and also that integrative approach that we both enjoy, working with other specialists and getting the best outcomes for our patients. Now, tell us a bit about how you got into this field.
Yeah, sure. Often patients ask me this question, how I got into Chinese medicine, and it was actually through being a patient and receiving some acupuncture for my own, it was a women's health problem. I had amenorrhea when I was about 19. I had no idea. All of a sudden, I just stopped getting a period. Mm. And so I went and I was really interested in health. So I went and I saw my GP, who referred me to a specialist, and I went to the hospital and I got a lot of tests and they really couldn't find any reason. And at that time I wasn't trying to conceive, I was only 19 years old, but I was really curious. I was like, well, why has this happened? I really wanted answers and I didn't understand it. So I then went to an acupuncturist and they gave me some herbs, delicious herbs, and they gave me some acupuncture. And a couple of things happened. Like, one thing that happened is that I felt really relaxed after having this acupuncture. Like, I just felt this new sense of calm, this new sense of well-being, and I was like, what is this? Like, this is amazing. And at that point in my life, I was pretty anxious, you know. And then the second thing which happened, I think after two sessions, I got a period. And that was like, it was just really quick. So I was really impressed with the results as well. And I felt like I'd kind of knocked on the door of like the mainstream care model for help. And I really felt like I hadn't found any answers. And for me, I was always sort of thinking, I really want to study something to do with health. I want to do, I was thinking naturopathy actually. but this experience with Chinese medicine made me kind of pivot, and like straight from high school, I was like, I want to study Chinese medicine. And so I went on and studied Chinese medicine. And but what I guess I learned from that, and as I was going through, I was like, well, if this is what it can do for me, I wonder what it can do for other people with, you know, women's health conditions. So I did a lot of study on PCOS, endometriosis when I was doing my undergraduate degree. And then I sort of opened thinking I'm just going to work in women's health. But of course, women's health is so strongly connected with fertility.
Sure.
And so I ended up getting a lot of referrals from gynecologists who were referring patients who were doing IVF. So it sparked a real interest for me in helping these people also just have another model of care to integrate, as well as like working alongside, I really enjoy working alongside doctors and working alongside naturopaths. I feel like, you know, that's the trifecta. I feel like is like the essential trifecta for fertility patients. And then other models, you know, other types of care can be fantastic as well. So it wasn't about like, oh, this is the only way, but it was about, well, I think this is really valuable and helpful. And I think this can offer people a lot. And also looking, and we'll talk a little bit more about it perhaps later in this interview, but just looking at that kind of wealth of knowledge Chinese medicine had, and how there's like thousands of years on how to treat things like irregular cycles, and thousands of years on how to treat painful periods, and, you know, thousands of years on how to treat infertility and all the different types of, and I was just blown away with the in like how much knowledge there was that had been accumulated over thousands of years of them writing these textbooks and passing on this information. So when you're doing Chinese medicine, it's obviously very historical. You're reading these texts that are 1,000, sometimes 2,000 years old, and they still apply them in the clinic, and you think, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. And then when they do, you're kind of like, wow. Like, wow, this is amazing. So yeah, that's my story. And I think it's not dissimilar to a lot of practitioners. You often, you know, you struggle with something, and then you really find some answers, and you find some meaning and real help from a modality, and it really makes you want to pursue it and help other people in that same way.
Yeah, it gives you that passion and that drive to, yeah, help others experience what you experienced out of it. So, yeah, that's exciting. Well, let's start with the origins of Chinese medicine. As you mentioned, I do find it fascinating. Yeah. I love that, you know, our DNA hasn't changed a great deal. If we think back to hunter-gatherer days, our environment has changed considerably, but our DNA doesn't change a great deal. So, I mean, we're both focused on a lot of research, evidence-based, but when we look about the foundations, there's a lot of historical evidence. So, you know, what are the origins of Chinese medicine? How did this come about?
So Chinese medicine's been around a really long time. Like there's records up to kind of about 5,000 years old. With fertility, specifically for fertility, there's references around sort of 400 BC, around the first kind of gynecological and fertility texts. So talking about herbs and that were particularly helpful. They actually had found inscriptions and tortoise shells about how to treat infertility that in 400 BC. So, and then if we fast forward, actually not that far, but if you go to about 200 AD, so you kind of fast forward a little bit, then there was actually about sort of 30 Chinese medicine herbal formulas to treat a whole bunch of different syndromes when it came to gynecology and fertility. And so even, you know, that long ago, like 200 AD, there was, you know, 30 herbal medicine formulas in rotation specifically just for gynecological issues, like not just overall. And then around sort of 600 AD, when you look at the textbooks, they get even more incredibly rich and expansive. So around 600 AD, there's like about 7 volumes of gynecological texts describing, I think it was about 283, I've got my mum was mixed up, 283 gynecological kind of syndromes. And then we, you know, fast forward to 1000 AD and we're looking at like, you know, 20 chapters on, you know, things like menstrual diseases, and we've got 70 chapters on postpartum disorders and 10 chapters on infertility. So it's just like the wealth of knowledge is insane. Yeah. And of course, it really kind of, it stems from those kind of key concepts around Chinese medicine, which are kind of key concepts and also sort of a philosophy at the microcosm and the macrocosm. So in Chinese medicine, they saw whatever is out in the natural environment was mirrored in the internal environment of the body. And so they looked to the natural environment for answers on how to restore balance and how to have things really flourish in the body. So, for example, like there's the concept of yin and yang. So in the natural environment, they looked at this as like things that were yin were seemed to be really nourishing and hydrating. So the things like the rivers and the ocean, the moon was considered to be yin. It's also so associated with sort of stillness, the feminine quality, quietness, but also from like, yeah, yin things were, you know, ocean, rivers, the moon, things like that. And then in the body, we saw it as to be the blood and the fluids and all that kind of really kind of nourishing aspect in the body. And then when we look at yang, it's kind of the flip of that, which is like, you know, in the external environment, yang was everything to do with like the warming and the like the generating, the energetic part in the natural environment. So things like the sun and the heat and fire, these are all things associated with yang that are also so important for that balance. So if you have too much of one and not enough of the other, then things start not, you know, you start getting flooding or, you know, things start not working in the natural environment. And it's the same in the body. So, you know, in the body, it's really got a lot to do with, yang's got a lot to do with that heating, like so how warm you are, your circulation, and it's the kind of the energy flow in your body. So it's what kind of changes us from being just like these objects to being alive. It's like that yang energy. So obviously also very essential. So, and it's about having a balance of these. And that's kind of like, that's really the essence of Chinese medicine is yin and yang.
And I love that they look to the environment for that too, because biology is amazing. It's evolved, you know, really well over the years, and we need to learn from that. And this balance that it naturally creates in itself.
Yeah.
So talk about that balance. I love the, you know, yin and yang. It's very much about having the both, but having the balance of both. And there might be some people listening saying, oh, I resonate with the yang, but I'm not with the yin. Or how do we create that balance, and how do we recognize the imbalance in ourselves?
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's almost a thermal thing. So sometimes if you feel like you're a bit warmer, then you might be a bit more yang. If you're a bit cooler, you're probably a little bit more yin, and like your yang is a little bit less. So knowing what you are is going to be really key, because it's really individual. So there's no kind of like one thing that you do. It depends on your status. So, you know, yin in the natural environment, I said, you know, has got a lot to do with the fluids. So, and in Chinese medicine also, it's got a lot to do with the fluids, particularly things like infertility. We'd look at like fertile mucus, the follicular fluid, and we'd be looking at like estrogen would be a real factor in terms of someone's yin status and also their egg reserve on a kind of a deeper level. And if we look at the external environment, if we start kind of having too much yang, which is, you know, say too much heat, too much sun, starts drying everything out. And that's the same in the internal environment. So too much heat, too much yang, which can be caused by things like lots of stimulants, coffee, alcohol, just overworking, like just working really hard, exercising a lot, and not having enough R&R, not getting that, you know, that time with the moon, like not getting that night, that stillness, that rest, and also that nourishment, you know, where that's where, you know, what you do, Tasha, really comes in. So not getting like the nutrients you need to make your body to nourish your body, that's really essential in terms of, you know, yin. So, and also as we age, our yin declines just naturally, and particularly with fertility, our fertility yin declines, and we know this, like things start, estrogen levels start getting a little bit lower as we age. And so as part of Chinese medicine is like, okay, well, if this yin is really low, then we need to work on how we can sort of start supporting that again in the body and bring that back in. And part of that's diet and lifestyle and nutrients. And the other half of it, with what we do, is of course doing acupuncture to really kind of nourish yin, encourage more yin, more blood flow, especially to the ovaries and the uterus for fertility. And really, like, really nourish the patient. And another tip, if you're just listening at home, is to have a look at your tongue. So if your tongue, it's kind of like, when we look at the tongue, I say to patients, is if you cut you open, have a look at an organ, it's going to look a lot of what, like, your tongue looks like. And while we don't need to have a look at your organs and we don't need to get that gory, what it's going to tell us is the fluid status in your body. So do you have a coat on your tongue? Is it a thick coat or is it a thin coat? Or is it really dry? And if it's really dry, your yin might be a little bit low. And if it's cracked, that's a sign that, or there's cracks, that's a sign that your yin might be a little bit low. If your yang's low, you might notice it's a bit paler rather than a nice bright red color. It's a paler color. And it might be a little bit more, when there's not enough heat in the body, then it has an effect on your lymphatic system. So often you'll get a bit more of a flabby tongue, like a bit, there's more fluids in the body. So it might be a bit more swollen. You might have teeth marks on it, things like that. So you can have a look at your tongue and see how it's going. And we suggest to patients, like, go home, have a look at your tongue, how it is now. Like, as we work with this, keep looking at it, see how it's changing.
Oh, that's great. So you see the changes.
So you can see, like, how it's, you know, maybe it's not as red, if it's got some redness in certain areas, or, you know, maybe it was pale and now it's starting to kind of get a bit more color. All of these things. So it's one
great
way
tip.
To kind of just go home and to start looking and be thinking more yin or more yang. And if you're a bit more yin, you might have a thicker coat on your tongue.
And it's great to be able to give patients, and I know, have that control over and see the difference in the progression. I know, even working with temperature charting and things, it's great to see patients now look what it was and look what it is now. You can see the difference, because some of these things that we are doing, you can't see. I know, I would love to be able to look in and someone said, can I just check how my eggs are going, like, can I check if they're getting better? I'm like, I so wish we could. Check, but those sorts of signs are great that we can see that progression and that improvement happening. Absolutely. It motivates you to keep going with some of these diet lifestyle herbs and things that can be challenging to implement, but nice to be able to see that. So I love that tongue tip there.
You're right, base body temperatures actually show us a lot about our yin and yang as well. So if your base body temperature is a little bit low, showing that you're kind of you're running a bit cold. And vice versa, if it's a bit high, you're running a bit hot. So it gives us a real idea about yin and yang status as well.
Yeah, it's great to see that. I do work with that a lot. We were just talking off air about the similarities between, I guess, what I do, naturopathy and nutrition, and the Chinese medicine. And as you said, I think having that trifecta of care for fertility makes such a difference, because we can complement each other so well. In that, I know I had a patient working with her basal temperature, and she accidentally sent me through one from like 4 months ago. And I was like, oh no, we're going to have to change things. This looks, I'm like, hang on a minute, you sent me the wrong one. I look, oh, look at this. How good is this? Looks so much better now. So seeing that improvement is so nice to be able to see that it is getting better.
And especially in the fertility context, you know, sometimes it feels like, you know, sometimes it takes people a while to conceive, and over that time you want to feel like you're heading in the right direction and that everything is, like, everything's improving, you know, while you're in that kind of waiting pattern of waiting for the time when everything's going to line up really nicely so you can conceive.
It is nice to see that, because I know patients do feel like it's treading water. And I often I've asked 42-year-olds to pause, like, and we need to work with you for 3 months. And I said, I don't want you to think of it a pause. It's not treading water. We're actually improving your fertility over these 3 months. And, you know, we've been able to achieve a successful outcome afterwards, which is so wonderful. Yeah. So it's not a pause. It's not you're not waiting. You are actually improving over that time, that egg development. So yin and yang are obviously really important foundations of Chinese medicine. What about qi? We hear a lot about qi. Yeah. What is qi? How does qi relate to our fertility?
Sometimes kids get it confused with cheese. Why do you work with cheese?
Cheese
is wonderful.
Panda. My kids watch Kung Fu Panda, so I know all about qi.
They know all about it. qi is energy. So it's again, it's like kind of like the difference between us being dead and alive, really, is like the chi, you know. It runs through our body, and it helps kind of it's kind of like the conduit. It helps kind of like move energy through the body. It helps move the blood to help nourish the body. And so it's really essential. And if you look at it in from a more of a scientific perspective, we'll be talking about like things like ATP and mitochondria. That's like really reflective of your chi. And so, yeah, chi is really essential in terms of circulation, and also just your vitality of your cells and of your whole body and of your eggs, of your fertility. And in Chinese medicine, it's really essential also for the helping with having like a regular cycle, and particularly around ovulation. So that's a really kind of key time where you want your chi to be flowing really nicely in order for ovulation to occur, because you're thinking like there's a lot that's happening at that point. There's a little, you know, egg that needs to kind of pop out. It's, the body's having to do quite a bit. And we want the chi to help kind of facilitate that. So often with Chinese medicine, with acupuncture, we'll be trying to redirect the energy to areas where it's not flowing as well as it could be. Or we might be trying to kind of like really nourish their energy. So we're in areas where there's not enough chi or not enough energy. We're trying to kind of create and tonify, we say tonify, but really support more energy in that area. And so obviously with Chinese medicine for fertility, often we're supporting the ovaries and the uterus. So often doing points directly over these, but we'll also do points further down the channel, down the meridian, to help support that function. So yeah, we're generally just doing two things with acupuncture. We're either trying to support more energy to go to a certain place or through a certain sort of function, or we're trying to kind of unblock energy where it's become kind of a bit stagnant.
Yeah, and energy is so critical to fertility. You know, we talked about this last week when we chatted, but you know, the egg cell has more mitochondria than any other cell in the body. It requires a ton of energy to develop, to get those chromosomes to line up, to get that fertilization and capacitation and happening to be able to get an embryo to develop. So energy is absolutely huge. So I love the way you're able to nourish that, and that chi energy and that flow is so important, particularly around that ovulation, when everything is happening.
And in Chinese medicine, we talk about like our reservoir of energy, which is called your jing, but that's like your primordial chi. So it's your constitution that you're born with, and then over time that, you know, that kind of depletes, and it also depletes with every pregnancy, but it's really essential for nourishing the whole reproductive system. So often, you know, there are things like the lifestyle changes, people not being as stressed, getting more sleep, better nutrition, all these things are going to help kind of nourish that kind of like deep reservoir of energy that helps support your overall health and wellness, but it is like key and absolutely essential for your reproductive system. So that's where acupuncture and herbs can also come in and be super helpful.
So help with that constitutional energy that they were actually born with. That's important to nourish that. I think we unfortunately live lifestyles these days that are very depleting of that that chi and that reservoir of energy that we are born with.
But don't you find, like, I find patients who come in and they have had like a pretty chi depleting lifestyle, they go pretty hard, and then they've kind of got to a point where they're like, I really want to have a family. But their body's just not there yet. Like, they're like, I'm exhausted. But what it can be, what can be great, it can be really like, well, this is what I really want. So you have to really kind of like look at, well, holistically, how am I going to kind of, you know, make, do this transformation where my body is really ready and I'm really ready to have a family. I've got the energy. I've got all the resources I need for that now. And that, I think that's great. It's a great step for people and really empowering to be like, I'm not going to work this job I don't enjoy, or I'm not going to kind of like, you know, kill myself to, I'm not going to be on this kind of, I'm not going to exhaust myself anymore. I'm going to put myself first because that's what I need to do to become a mum. And I love working with people and seeing how it's not even that we're suggesting any of these changes. It's just as they start kind of becoming more well and more empowered and more strong that they start kind of going, oh, this is what I want. I want to be here. It's exciting. It's an exciting time for people. I think it can be crisis can really breed transformation.
Yeah.
You know, particularly when you're undergoing fertility treatment or trying to start a family, and that transformation can be long lasting. Yeah, it's exciting.
And it's an important step to take. And it is lovely to see that blossom, because I don't know about you, I do see a lot of type A personalities that have, and unfortunately I find that they've become successful. Everything they've done has been about hard work and just working harder and trying harder and fertility. Yeah. Unfortunately, myself included, I try to do fertility that way first too. Yeah. It doesn't work. You can't try harder or do more. It is about getting that balance and regaining that balance. So I think I love
almost
having
about, most of the time about doing less, you know, it's about doing less, you know.
Exactly. And reprioritizing self-care. Mm.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's tricky to do. And it's really hard to advocate, I think, people to even advocate for themselves to do that. And it's not until they've kind of got this larger goal with their, you know, to start a family that they're like, oh no, this has to happen. You know, I'm doing it actually for my kids. So yeah,
it's good to see it in that context, so that they can have, because I've found some people, but that's laziness, that's apathy, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
Actually, you are doing things, and that's why things like the tongue, having seen their temperature, seeing these changes, like this is actually working, this is actually improving. You're not just being lazy because you're not achieving your
and you're asking
goals.
Your body to do a lot. Yeah. Like, you're asking it to do heaps, so you kind of need to. Yeah.
Creating another human being. I mean, I just find it fascinating that two cells can come together and start a new heart beating. That just, it does require a ton of energy, and it requires you to reprioritize that energy that you want to work on, not everything else going out for everyone else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 100% agree with that. Yeah.
So now we talk about five elements when it comes to Chinese medicine. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? What are they, and how can we use those to help us to nourish this qi and this energy and our fertility that we're talking about?
Yeah, so five element theory is so fascinating, but it kind of gets quite complex. I'm going to describe it to you in the simplest way.
We could probably talk for hours on this exact topic, so I'm probably asking for this nutshell over here.
Yeah, there's two key concepts in Chinese medicine. There's yin and yang, which I've talked about, and then there's five element theory. So five element theory, it's born of similar to what I was saying, how there's the microcosm and the macrocosm. So, and the macrocosm in the outside world, the theory is that there's everything in the outside world consists of five elements, and those five elements need to be in balance again, you know, in order for things to work really nicely. And so the five elements, each element, so we've got things like fire, wood, water, metal, earth are the five elements in Chinese medicine. And it's really similar actually in things like Ayurvedic and other other health traditions. They often talk about these, it's either four or five elements. So it's not something that's just exclusive of Chinese medicine, which I think is really interesting, but they all have the same idea. It's like, there's something
exactly.
in this. Yeah.
Must be
Western
onto something.
Medicine, you know, Western medicine, traditional Western medicine, four. Anyway, so in Chinese medicine, there's five elements. And so each element corresponds to two organs, a yin organ and a yang organ. And it also corresponds to a season, and in this season is generally when you'll have the most problems. It's when there's the most amount of energy in these organ systems, and you'll have the most problems with them, and that you also need to work with them. It's when you can improve their health. And it also has, it's related to an emotion. So if you have like an excess or imbalance in the emotion, then it's going to affect these organs. So it's all very interconnected, and there's more things I could go through, like it's related to, you know, colors and but we'll just stick with that to start with. Fire, for example, the element of fire is related to the heart and to the pericardium. The season is summer, so that's when you more likely to get things like anxiety. It's related to the emotion of joy. So also if people have like a lot of joy, where they're kind of like overexcited, it's going to really like over excite the heart.
Interesting.
And also if people are depressed, they're feeling a bit flat. Like when we feel their pulse and we feel their heart pulse and they're feeling it's a bit low, they're feeling a bit flat. It's kind of like the fire and that fire element in their body is a little bit low. Yeah. So that's how we kind of use it from a Chinese medicine perspective. And each season, so we send out a seasonal newsletter because we want to be like, hey, this season, you know, it's got to do with the heart. Or at the moment we're in winter. And so that's got more to do with the kidneys, which is really important in terms of what we're talking about. It's all about storage and that reservoir of energy. So it's about the kidney and the bladder. Also, it's got to do with the flavor, which is really important in Chinese medicine, herbal medicine, because the flavor has to do with how it interacts with the organ, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the flavor is salty in winter. And the emotion is fear. So these are some of the things that are more likely to kind of come up in winter. So we're working with people that often have maybe a bit more kind of kidney issues, sore lower back, things like that. So depending on the season, we're moving into spring, which is like, I love spring. So I think
it's all about fertility, your lung lambs.
It's all about transformation and change. Yeah. And it's to do with your liver and gallbladder. And so it's like when we're like naturally doing a bit of a detox after winter, which has been like the storage time, we've probably put on a kilo or so. And then we naturally do a bit of a detox. So our liver's working overtime. But it's also a time where they can be a bit more nervous. Instability, like a bit, your nervous system kind of plays up a little bit more in spring, and the emotion around the wood element, which is spring, is more around like irritability and anger and things like that. So I mean, all of these elements are happening in your body all the time. So when we feel your pulse, we might be like, oh, there's a liver imbalance or a kidney imbalance. But it often will get more pronounced in the season to which it's connected. And also if you're someone who experiences a lot of those emotions, say you experience a lot of joy, or, you know, you're a very happy person, you probably got a really good heart, your fire heart and heart and pericardium is probably really good. Or if you feel a bit flat, then maybe it's a little bit low. If you're someone who feels a bit of irritability, then maybe that wood element is a little bit out of balance, and that's something your acupuncturist will be helping you with. But you know, and it's also, they've got to do with colors, and often this really I think would be interesting for you, Tasha, because it's got to do with what the kind of food you eat to help balance them out. So for example, in spring you want to eat like loads of green foods. So it's color-coded green foods, like all your greens, you know, because you want to really help with your liver.
My favorite, you know, food group
tying up a bit. Yeah, so it's all about your greens in spring. In winter they talk about black foods, but it's more like your meats and like dark rich foods.
Dark foods.
And summer red foods are really good, so you know, your watermelon, your berries, all that sort of stuff. So they're all I hope that helps in terms of like a little bit of an idea around the five elements. It's super fun to have if you can download a little chart, just look up five elements, and it helps you know what all the different corresponding things are for each season. And get our newsletter. We always give you like heaps of tips and tricks.
We'll make sure we put links to those in there to your newsletter so people can sign up more. If you've got a chart, or we'll put a link to a chart. So if you are interested in finding out more about those five elements and how they work. And as you said, I love the fact that it goes across. I talk about seasonal foods all the time, which is so similar. You know, you're having the berries in the summer, you're having them for the season that they were meant to be had in, because they're the most nourishing, and they're what nature intended you to have, instead of unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it. Food is available 24/7 on our supermarket shelves, so we don't really understand the seasons as much anymore.
That's
understanding the world around us, the seasons, helps us better understand our internal environment too.
Exactly. And it's sort of similar with Chinese medicine dietary advice when we come when talking about like yin and yang. So obviously in winter it's a very yin time, so actually you should be eating a lot more kind of yang food to balance that out. So more warming foods, right? So when people are telling me that they're eating fruit salad and having a salad for lunch or whatever in winter, we're like, no, please start eating soup, you know, soup and bone broth, please.
I had that conversation with a patient this morning, eating salad because it's healthy. I'm like, it's freezing in Melbourne.
And
salad.
You need to warm your body up, you know, and you need to put warm energy in. And then the same thing, but like in summer, like having a smoothie or having a salad is really appropriate because it helps helps cool the body. It hydrates the body. It does everything it needs when it's hot outside. You're putting a yin in because there's yang outside. So it's just, even just understanding, that's what I love about Chinese medicine. I just love the key concepts. You can just apply them to everything, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And anything that helps you get in tune with your own body, I think, is so important for fertility and all of these things we've talked about, the yin and the yang, the qi, the five elements, all help you get in touch with your internal environment more, which can obviously really help with that fertility and getting a healthy pregnancy.
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you for taking the time out of your really busy schedule to be with us today. I know it's been really valuable information people have had. So is there anywhere, where can people, if they want to know more about Chinese medicine, what support do you offer? Where should they go for the next step to see you and get more support around this?
Sure. Well, yeah, you're very welcome. It's been really lovely chatting with you today. I've really enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah, it's been great. So we're called the Acupuncture Pregnancy Clinic. So you can find us online. Our website is acupuncturepregnancy.com.au. And we've also got a Facebook group. It's like a private Facebook group that we've created, which you were a guest on last week. But we have a lot of experts.
Lovely
as
to
well
be there.
It was great having you. A lot of Chinese medicine as well as nutritional advice about fertility and IVF if you're trying to conceive. And that's just called the Acupuncture Fertility and IVF Support Group. So if you just have a look on Facebook and find us, and you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. Jump over to the site. We do a weekly Making It on Monday, where we're talking about a different topic for mums and then making people trying to conceive really helpful advice. You're welcome to pop over to that. It's free. It's a great way to kind of get a little bit more understanding around Chinese medicine, or just more kind of fertility tips and tricks and things like that.
Excellent. Well, we'll make sure we put links to that in the show notes. Great. So everyone can head over and see you. So thank you for today. I really enjoyed our chat too. I know we could chat for hours about fertility and all things natural medicine.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us, and I look forward to seeing everyone in the next episode. Bye for now.
Thanks so much.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Conceive Baby Podcast. To help you move forward on your journey to pregnancy, I've created your free fertility checklist for you. This checklist provides simple swaps you can make that can have a significant impact on your chances of conceiving and carrying your healthy baby. So be sure to head to conceivebaby.com.au/checklist to download your free fertility checklist today.